Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Vinnish. You're absolutely right. It's amazing. This little congregation can become so big, and then it's a little congregation again. There's a poem that's written by Mary Stevenson. You're all familiar with it, I'm sure. It's called Footprints in the Sand, about a man that dreamed he was walking along the beach with God. And many of his life's experiences flashed across the sky as he was making this walk, and in each scene he noticed footprints in the sand. And it was strange to him that at times there were two sets of footprints, and other times there was just one. This bothered him because the single set of footprints only happened during his lowest points in life. So he said to God, "You promised me that I would, if I followed you, you would walk with me all the days of my life. And yet I noticed that during my most trying periods, there was only one set of footprints. Why did you leave me alone when I needed you most?" And the Lord said to him, "The single set of footprints is when I carry you." You know, with the days of unleavened bread behind us, Pentecost, and the fall of holy days ahead of us, this seemed like a good time to talk about this journey that we are making. I've heard many comment that this was one of the most inspiring spring and holy days ever. And I would agree. Leading up to and during the holy days, we heard messages and meditated on coming out of our own spiritual Egypt, that we were washed of our sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and brought into a tremendous relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And then we have to keep our focus on the promised land, the city that was not built with human hands. Now, how do we keep that enthusiasm? How do we keep motivated to follow God, knowing that there will be trials ahead, knowing that this journey that we face will be difficult at times? By this time, nearly 3,500 years ago, the Israelites had already crossed the Red Sea. They were probably about 5 days into their journey into the wilderness. But it only took 3 days across that Red Sea before they started to complain. Turn with me to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. In verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, meaning bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? Come on, Moses, why didn't we just go back to Egypt to die? They had graves for us there." So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. They're taken care of. Why are you complaining? Our journey will lead us to places in our lives that it's easy to complain. Our faith will be tested. This road we walk can be long and difficult. It's much longer than I thought it would ever be. Because when I was a kid, I was told I would never graduate from high school. That preparing for a future beyond 1975 was pointless. I know a man who had a very successful business. Because he believed Christ was going to return then, he stopped working on that business. He started letting his business die down. For the past nearly 40 years, his family has suffered terribly for that decision. The journey can be long and difficult. The question is, how do we respond? Well, how thankful are you that you do not have to make this journey alone? What a blessing it is to have fellowship with others that are called out of their own spiritual Egypt. We make this journey together and we can lean on each other. We can provide hope and encouragement to each other, and we do. Or we can complain and just create bitterness. Marah. And we know from their complaining, the Israelites, none of the Israelites over 20 were allowed into the promised land. That's a scary thought. Complaining may keep us out of making to the promised land. Some have been on this journey walking in the wilderness for many years, and they can be a tremendous example of faith and dedication to the rest of us. And I want to share the story of a couple that I received permission to share. He wrote to me, he said, "Our spiritual journey began in late 1960 when we lived near Conyers, Georgia. And I was working at Huckabee Trucking Company, going to work at 2 o'clock in the morning. I got off work around 11 a.m. and had to drive about 40 to 50 miles home. After I got drowsy and ran off the two-lane road once, I started to listen to music on car radio. When one day the thought entered my mind, why not look for some spiritual programs, some religious programs? And there was a program by a man named Garner Chet Armstrong in this mix of programs he was listening to. He said, I ordered literature from several of the programs, sending the amount of money they requested for their literature, but the World Tomorrow program stated their literature was free. After reading a number of booklets, we got our first Plain Truth in February 1962, kept our first Sabbath in April, and met the baptizing tour led by Carm Catherwood and Dennis Luker in June 1962. His name's the people that aren't around anymore, but we're making that long journey. We were invited to Sabbath services in Birmingham, Alabama. We began attending in July 1962, 200 miles one way, 4 hours each way, to and back. And we needed to leave home about 5:30 in the morning just to make services at 9:30. We began attending about every other Sabbath. Soon we were going every Sabbath. What a commitment. You don't see that much anymore. It's hard to get people to go across town anymore. You know, I was moaning and complaining about the rush hour traffic coming home from the first day of Unleavened Bread in Southwest Austin. It's like, you know, what do I have to complain about? Imagine driving 8 hours every Sabbath to go to church, maybe even further for the holy days. It's just hard to find that commitment these days. He goes on to say, I was baptized on March 15, 1963 at about dark in a very cool pond. You can only imagine March getting into a pond. That must have been cold. We moved to Birmingham shortly thereafter following some trials and threats of persecution. I got a job with an insurance company and was accepted at Ambassador College in the fall of 1963. We sold and disposed of all of our furniture and loaded our belongings into a 4x8-foot trailer, hooked that to our 59 Chevrolet with a $500 loan or gift if we could not repay it, and headed to Pasadena. Our ties to our families were pretty much broken because we had just joined a communist organization. I graduated Ambassador in May 1967. The rest is history, and I'm still amazed how God worked out all the details and took care of us all these years. He says there have been many, many severe trials along the way, but God has always delivered us. There were many awesome blessings that God provided for us as well, too numerous to mention. I know they went through some very severe trials. I know they did. And they are still here, and they're still on their journey. An amazing story of two people who are still looking for that promised land. They can look back and they can see those points when there was a single set of footprints in the sand. It makes me feel ashamed. I have nothing to complain about. I mean, I've been called out of the world, sanctified by the Almighty God, given the vision of eternal life and a paradise my mind can't even begin to comprehend. Yet the journey goes on. The first 16 years of my life, the Feast of Tabernacles was spent in Big Sandy. Mr. Costin would know this. It was an awesome experience for a kid. Maybe not so much for the adults, but I never heard them complain. I mean, there were times when there were torrential rains would just flood and flood tents. And I remember people who had to leave their tents and go to the common restrooms where they had men's on one side and women's on the other and a breezeway in the middle, and that's where they would all huddle. You know what they would do? They'd get out their hymnals and sing praises to God. I mean, they just got out their hymns. They just started singing. Some mornings the temperature would be below freezing. The only way to warm yourself was to get up by that Coleman camping stove and warm your hands while breakfast was being cooked. And I don't remember anyone complaining. It just was a very different attitude of commitment and gratefulness. As a kid, the excitement of leaving for the Feast of Tabernacles was more than I could stand. It was just, I couldn't wait. And sometimes Dad would pick us up around noon. That first 4 hours of the day were horrible. But we'd head off to Big Sandy. The drive was so long, felt like we would never get there. And sometimes I would ask, Daddy, are we almost there? Maybe we ask the Lord the same thing. Lord, are we almost there? We continue our journey, knowing we are not alone. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. But from there, God says, Moses speaking for God, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all the things come upon you in the latter days, and we certainly hope we are in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. God has made a promise to you. There's no question he will keep his promise. We are not alone. We have each other. More important, we have him. Will we keep our promise to him? That's what these next few weeks are going to be very important. Our journey, the rest of our journey. Will we keep that promise? As we heard during the days of unleavened bread, in order to keep our commitment, in order to keep that vision, in order to maintain that relationship with God, we have to continue to put Christ in, to allow him to live within us. We have to be steadfast in our prayer and Bible study, meditate on God's word. We have to fast so we can put the pride, which Mr. Thompson talked about, out of our lives, the foundation of all sin, and we can draw closer to God. Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1. In verse 9. God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be sure. Be confident. One definition says, play the man. Be the man. Be strong and of good courage. Be steadfastly minded. That's what that means. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We don't know when this journey will end, but we can be confident that we don't walk alone. I am thankful that I get to walk this journey with you, that each of you can be an example to me, and that God's footprints are right there next to ours.